Good morning. Welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church.
Thank you for joining us today. God's blessings on your worship.
worship today will be divine service to be created, which begins on the 184th. Thank you. Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. Now great crowds accompanied Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own wife, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able, with 10,000, to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation So, therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is of no use either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown away. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is the gospel of the Lord. Now, having heard the word of God, we join together in speaking the words of faith, which this morning we shall do using the words of the Nicene Creed and Faith Commonwealth. We confess together, "I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible. Is our new hymn of the month for the month of September, number 862, "Oh, Bless the House." text of the sermon today is our Old Testament reading, Deuteronomy chapter 30. This is a portion of the words that Moses had for the children of Israel right at the end of his life. And just as they were about to go into the promised land, Moses pretty much just lays it out there before them and says, basically, you got two choices. You can either choose to live a God-pleasing life and then you'll live long in the land that you're going over to possess, or you can choose to turn away from God, and then that's the road that's going to lead to perishing. Seems like a pretty easy choice. Of course, we all understand that sin in this world makes things that should be easy not so easy for us as human beings. Thanks be to God, our hope and our salvation is not based on choices that we make, but it's based, of course, upon the choice that God makes. And He has chosen you, has chosen me, His Son Jesus Christ. This is the text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, there is a British author and motivational speaker by the name of Devin McGrath, which, if you're keeping score at home, you spell Gruff, B-R-O-U-G-H, Gruff, like Gruff. English language is crazy sometimes. But anyway, Mr. Gruff wrote a somewhat popular poem that kind of went viral about 5 years ago, sort of like right in the middle of the COVID pandemic. I guess you would call it a poem. I'm not really sure what you call it, but it's short. So I'll go ahead and read the whole thing to you. It says this: marriage is hard. Divorce is hard. Choose your heart. Obesity is hard. Being fit is hard. Choose your heart. Being in debt is hard. Financially disciplined is hard. Choose your heart. Communication is hard. Not communicating is hard. Choose your heart. Life will never be easy. It will always be hard. But we can choose our heart. Pick life. That's it. That's the whole thing. Maybe some of you have heard that before. Or maybe you've heard something similar to it. The general idea is pretty easy to grasp, that pretty much no matter what you choose to do in life, life is going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. There are going to be all kinds of challenges and roadblocks every step of the way. But what Devin Gruff is suggesting, and we can all decide if we actually agree with him or not, is that basically you always have a choice about what type of difficult or hard thing you're going to face. That you're never actually just a victim of circumstances, and you can always choose to improve your situation if you're willing to do something that is hard, something that is difficult. Now, for me personally, I'm not sure that that's true 100% of the time. I think it's okay for us to recognize that sometimes the hard things that people face are not their own choice. Sometimes people really don't have a choice about the difficult things that they face. But the part of this that I think I am completely on board with is the idea that no matter what you choose, no matter how you live your life, yes, life is hard. It's going to be hard. And that becomes even more clear if you think about this theologically. Because as Christians, we understand that the natural consequence of sin existing in this world is that nothing is as easy as it should be. It's been that way ever since the fall. Even when we try to make a conscious effort to live God-pleasing lives and make decisions that are going to be good decisions and pleasing to God, we still end up facing all kinds of challenges and problems. We've never been promised that life is just going to be easy. In fact, it's even worse if you're a follower of Jesus. Jesus himself promises us that in our gospel reading today. He talks about how following him requires us to count the cost, requires us to take up our crosses. Nothing easy about that. had been through so much with these Israelites over the years. He was the one, of course, that had helped to lead them out of slavery in Egypt 40 years earlier. That was their parents' generation. And he got to wander around in the wilderness with them over the next 40 years as the generation in front of them had been growing up in the desert. And he brought them right up to the very edge of the promised land. Finally about to go in. And Moses knew that he was not going to be able to go over there with them. He had been told by the Lord that he was going to die before he got to step foot into that promised land. But Moses still cared about his people. He still wanted them to make the right choices. He still wanted them to live the right way. And so he says this, "See, I have set before you today life and good. Very simple choice, right? Worship Yahweh, obey His commandments, choose life, and you and your offspring will live. On the other hand, if you worship other gods, turn away from the Lord, you're not going to live very long in this land that you're going over to possess." Two choices, very simple choice. Basically, you say, choose your heart. Walking in God's ways is hard. Turning your heart away from God is really hard. Choose your heart. Except in this case, it's literally a matter of life and death. So Moses tells them what choice they ought to make. In verse 19, he tells them they need to choose life. This all seems obvious enough, but I do need to pause at this point. You bring elephants in. What I mean by that is, how do we understand the word choose? We know our small catechism. We know that we cannot, by our own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord, and come to Him. We know that we don't choose Jesus, He chooses us. I think it's important for us to understand that when Moses is telling these people to choose life, he's telling them that in the midst of a big overarching narrative, a whole story. Let's remember where we are at this point in the story. 40 years before this, God had already rescued these people from slavery in Egypt. Did they choose to be saved? Did they choose to be rescued? No, God did this for them. As a gift, out of His grace, out of His love, out of His mercy, He saved them. They were about to enter into this land. God had promised that they would be able to live in the land of Canaan. Did they choose? They got to go in when they wanted to go in? No, God chose them. God made this promise to them. God did this for them. Moses is addressing people who have already received these amazing gifts and these promises from God, people who have already been rescued by Him. And so now He's encouraging them to continue to make godly choices since they have already been saved. And you know what? That's exactly how it works for us too. We don't decide to follow Jesus. We don't choose to become His disciples on our own. We don't choose to believe and trust in Him. Faith is a gift. Faith is a gift given to us by the Holy Spirit through holy baptism, through the power of God's Word. But at the same time, it's not like you're just a puppet on the string for the rest of your life. Even though you didn't choose to be saved, you still get choices about how to live your life. You still have opportunities every single day to choose the things that are going to ultimately lead to eternal life, or choose the things that would ultimately lead to eternal death. And like we kind of noted before, both choices are hard. Indulging your sin is hard. more enjoyable at the time. What that leads to is we end up harming ourselves and end up harming the people. But on the other hand, avoiding sin and obeying God's commandments is not only hard, but it's actually impossible for us to do perfectly. So this is a case where simply saying, choose your heart, is actually a little bit more complicated. Or at least it was. Until Jesus came. Jesus Christ changes everything. Jesus Christ turns all of this on its head. When God in the Old Testament demands that his people choose life and obey his commandments, well, with Jesus, now we have somebody who actually was able to do that. And not only do that for himself, but do that for all of us, for all of you. Throughout his entire earthly life, Jesus did things that we were unable to do. Jesus consistently chose the hard path. He chose the more difficult life so that we could be set free. Not only did he choose his hard, but he chose you. God calls us to choose life, but Jesus chose death for himself. He chose his own death in order to win us life. That's the greatest choice that this world has ever seen. So because he has done this for you, that gives you a reason to trust in every choice that God would make for you for the rest of your life. And you trust God because he set his love upon you in Christ Jesus. You can trust God because he's promised that there's nothing that can separate you from that. You can trust God because he promises never to leave you, never to forsake you. You can trust God because he promises to be at work in every single aspect of your life, accomplishing his will within you. You can trust God because he loves you and he has proven it in his own son's death and resurrection. You can trust God because every time you come up here to take communion at this altar, you receive the price that Jesus paid to rescue you, his own body. This choice of Jesus Christ has now actually given us his strength and the ability to choose in all aspects of our day. The Holy Spirit now empowers us to choose our part, to choose the path that leads to love for our neighbor, to choose the path that leads to living a holy life as a child of God, the path that turns away from sin and turns toward our Heavenly Father instead. Choosing life means that we have completely new outlook in this world because of our faith. It means we have our eyes fixed on Jesus and upon the eternal life that he has won for us, rather than simply on our earthly lives that are so short and so finite in comparison. Choosing life also means that we'll do everything that we can to uphold the lives of other human beings around us, the neighbors that God places in our lives who so desperately need our good works. Choosing life means defending all those who can't defend themselves. Choosing life means choosing a way of life that is worthy of the title Christian. We don't choose that life because we believe that it's going to get us into God's good graces, because we're trying to make sure that God owes us something. We choose life because God first chose it for us. You don't have to be overwhelmed by the seemingly never-ending amount of hard choices that you have to make. Jesus Christ has made this so much simpler for us. Life is hard. Death is hard. Jesus chose his hard when he chose. Thanks. God, which stand as we sing today at the offertory. Brothers and sisters in Christ, who are to be defeated as the ministry teachers here at Trinity Lutheran Church, a work in which our Father in heaven is great joy. Hear the word of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk with them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. This is the word of the Lord. Beloved of the Lord, you are to assist me in the ministry of certain sacraments in the instruction of God's people according to his holy word. You are to prepare yourselves to this work by your individuality and corporate value before God, and faith drawn from it as it has been delivered to us in the Son of God. Our holiness of life and obedience of Christ are expected of all members of the congregation, and it is especially important show yourself by prayer and example to be faithful to him in service and in Christian devotion. So, the presence of God and of his congregation will not therefore be deceived. Do you accept this position entrusted to you and do you promise faithfully to carry out your duties, trusting the Lord and conforming yourself to his word in accordance with the faith of the evangelical Lutheran Church? I do. Congregation, beloved of the Lord, you have heard the promises of faithfulness spoken by these men and women. Do you promise to support them in their work, to remember them in your prayers, and to work with them to the best of the abilities that God has given you, so that he may glorify and keep his work be done in your midst? If so, the names of your leading. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I dedicate you as ministry teachers here at Trinity Lutheran Church in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Almighty and most merciful God, enlighten and strengthen you in your service, that you may be good and faithful leaders and teachers to the glory of his name and the salvation of his people. Let us pray. O Lord, grant to these, your people, the gift of wisdom and discretion, kindness and faithfulness, so that they may effectively teach and guide and grant to all your people the rest willingness to learn. Let the knowledge of your word be preserved and extended among us, so that all may know and praise you now and forever. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Over the name of the Lord is steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord's labor is not in vain. The Almighty and most merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless us and preserve you. Thank you all for your service, for your service, and your spiritual approval.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. We hope to see you again next week.